The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to this week's episode of Zach on Film. Welcome to 2016.
Woo-hoo.
We're going to start it off with some very upsetting
some horrible,
news.
Sad news. Okay.
Steven has to vent a little bit about his horrible trip to a theater.
Listen, I think that the movie-going experience is something that everyone should appreciate. There are some fantastic things about seeing film in a communal experience and in sharing that story with everyone and sharing in that moment together, which is why over this 2015, we were talking about this horrible experience that we had in our crappy theater. Now,
yes.
The crappy theater here in Hayes was built, I don't know, 1976 or something like that. It was a duplex. You had two screens. And I remember seeing great movies there. I mean, these were big auditoriums, like 400 or 500 people that were in the main theater. And over the years, from the time that I left college to the time that I came back to the area, that place turned into an eightplex.
Right.
So you have some very small rooms that I think what's the smallest holds like 75, 100 people.
Something about that, yeah.
Very small screen, and it's very uncomfortable. And of course, audiences have changed over the years to where, you know, people are talking and chewing on their food and answering their cell phone,
yes,
and all those kinds of things that really detract from this thing that we're supposed to be having in a communal experience.
Right.
On the flip side, there have also been this, and I think it's because of home media and mobile devices and all these things. Theaters are starting to go to extremes of, let's put in reclining, comfortable chairs. Let's put in wider chairs. Mm-hmm. Let's sell beer at the movie theater. Let's bring food right to your
right.
to your thing, and all these things that make the movie going experience, I think, also a little wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we've moved away from film,
right,
and that film experience. We're now 90, I think it's 99% or 98% of all theaters in the United States show films digitally.
Right.
I don't have a problem with that. For the most part, most films today are shot digitally and projected digitally. And so you're not seeing any degradation and you're seeing the movie, you know, as it was shot. There's something about film, though.
Mm-hmm.
So Quentin Tarantino made a point, and I'm hoping that you see this movie really soon, Zach,
because
the story
it.
Is really good. But Quentin Tarantino said, you know what? I want to tell a Western, and I want to tell it in the way that Sergio Leone would have told The Good, the Bad, and the
Ugly.
Sure,
absolutely.
I want to tell a movie that's shot in 70 millimeter. 70 millimeter hasn't been shot for theatrical release in 70 years. You see IMAX being shot in that large format.
Absolutely.
But
yep.
Panavision 70 hasn't been done in a long time. And so when he went to do Hateful Eight, he purposefully said, I'm going to shoot this in 70 millimeter. They found this fantastic lens that had been used to shoot Ben-Hur.
It's a great story.
And had been lost. You can read this. I think it was Hollywood Reporter or Variety or something like that. But the lens had been essentially lost on a shelf until the director of photography for Hateful Eight was wandering around the Panavision facility. And he stumbled upon it and found out this is the lens that they used to shoot Ben-Hur. And imagine what we can use this lens for.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're building up all this hype about the story and these characters and all these wonderful people that you have in the Hateful Eight, actors and Western and all this stuff and the technology behind it. And then Quentin Tarantino says, I want you to experience the way that audiences would have watched films 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to project this in 70 millimeter. And he had a few theaters that he had outfitted with projectors so that they could show it there.
Sure. He has a couple of theaters of his own.
But you know, 70 millimeter, you're probably talking about East Coast, West Coast, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Until he came up and said, I'm going to bring back the Roadshow. Now, the Roadshow back in the day was a big deal.
Absolutely.
It is where the film would travel around. It would be a big gala event. They had programs. In fact, I've got a program for you, Zach, that goes through everything. They had, you know, this would have like Mad World is another one that we watched on Zach on Film, Ben-Hur. But, you know, there would be a music that plays at the beginning to kind of get you comfortable in your seat, kind of like Mad World.
Mm-hmm.
And then because this movie is so long, there's an intermission. And during the intermission, you play some intermission music, which would be a big part of everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the program, you got to see this movie, and you got to see it projected the way that the director intended. And to me, that's something that's really important. If the director mm-hmm. wants you to see this way, by gosh, I think I want to see this movie this way.
Mm-hmm.
When he announced the roadshow and said that it would be traveling all over beginning Christmas Day, I was like, well, let me go online and see where the closest place is. There were two theaters in Kansas City doing it
yep.
on Christmas Day. Guess what? I happen to be in the Kansas City area on Christmas Day because we're going to go visit my parents. My brother-in-law and sister were coming down on the Saturday. And I thought, okay, wife, let me just pitch this out to you. Okay? This is something that I would really like to do. But if you don't want to do it, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
How about we go on the 25th? We'll drop the kids off at my parents. We'll spend a few hours with them. Then you and I can go get a hotel room. And we can go to Kansas City and we can see this movie, Hateful Eight. And I talked to her about the roadshow and the film experience and all this stuff and mm-hmm. excited about it, right?
Woo.
And she's like, okay.
Nice.
And I'm like, whoa, this is cool. So we did that. If you've never stayed at the Marriott down by the river.
Oh, yeah.
In Lawrence.
Mm.
Fantastic rooms. I mean, this used to be a strip mall that they converted into a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Really cheap, too. So if nice. You get a chance, go stay there. Right outside our window, bald eagle resting by the river.
Nice.
Got some pictures of that.
That
was really wonderful. We drove up to the AMC 20 over in, I think it's right across from the Sprint Center. So is that in Lenexa, Overland Park, Olathe, somewhere around that area. And we've been to the AMC 20 before. It's a big theater. It's really been changed. And they put in the new seating and all that stuff, right? And I'm super excited. I mean, I even, because we didn't do a Finally Friday on Christmas Day, I got on Periscope. I was like, hey, here's a really short, you know, Finally Friday for everybody. And I'm excited about seeing this movie. We're going to see it. And we're here an hour early.
Nice.
Because I'm so excited about being here. My wife's just rolling her eyes, right?
Of course.
So we go in and there's concession stand has been changed completely. We get our stuff. There's a line to go in. This is one of those movie theaters where fortunately I didn't have to worry about a line going in because it's reserved seating. I got one of the final two seats. I drove 4.5 hours to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
I had to pay for gas. I had to pay for road stop taquitos so that my kids could have something for breakfast on Christmas Day. I love my parents, but I had to spend 2 days with my parents.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
We paid for a hotel room.
Yeah. You're invested.
We paid for additional tickets to see this in 70 millimeter. Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a big outlaying, an outpouring of expense.
Oh, yeah.
To go see this movie the way Quentin Tarantino saw it. It's like 7 o'clock rolls around. I'm like, what the F is going on? Are they just waiting for more people to get in here? Because some people were like showing up right at like 5 seconds before the movie should have started. I'm like, well, it's reserved seating, so who cares?
Yeah.
No trailers before the movie starts. I'm like, oh, this is cool. But it goes right into the start of the movie. And I was like, this is odd.
Yeah.
There should be some music playing against here. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I didn't get that part. Maybe I did. Maybe I missed it.
Yeah.
And then the opening shot comes in, a beautiful wide shot of this cross. It's snowy, and there's this stagecoach way off in the distance coming closer and closer and closer as this music is playing, and it's by Montaigne, whatever his name is, who did the music for The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, playing it. I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. But then I'm like, my first thought is, as soon as that picture came up and I saw everything, I was like, okay, where's the music? Second thought was, I've seen a better image in 70 millimeter before, because I'm expecting this to be at least as clean. I've seen 65 millimeter prints. I saw it was at Hamlet, I think, in Atlanta in 65. And so I knew what that was going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And so a couple of shots later, you know, you're starting to get introduced to the characters and I'm getting into it. I'm like, maybe this is the road show and maybe this is because it's a theater and it's not a big theater in New York, Los Angeles. The projectionist is probably just a kid. And so there's some things that I'm seeing in this that don't look that great. And I start looking for the grain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, I don't see the film grain.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because 70 millimeter, it's so tight. And maybe because all these opening scenes at the beginning just have all this blowing snow. I'm like, maybe the snow's distracting me. I'm still hyped on this. And then so I start getting engrossed in the story. And there are some times where I'm like, you know, there's some good latitude in this, but I really think that the projectionist doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Uh-huh.
Because this picture should look better than it does. Because I know what film looks like. And I know, and there's the nice part about this movie is because there's such depth in this shot. I mean, there's a shot where they're putting away the horses out in the barn and they're pulling back and you realize, oh, I'm coming through the window and I still see those guys in the background. And here's Michael Madsen in the foreground. And I can see that all in a single shot, right? Mm-hmm. So there's important things going on in the background that help tell this story. And because there's such a wide view, there's so much going on that the actors are really having to, you know, if they're not on one side of the room, they're lucky because everybody who is on that side of the room has to be in the shot.
All right.
And they have to be doing something.
Right.
So I got caught up in the story and it's like, okay, you end chapter, I think it's chapter 4. And it's like intermission time. I'm like, okay, here comes the music. Screen goes to black and it just says intermission. I'm like, where the F is the music at?
Yeah.
Does the roadshow experience not include the music? Is that, I mean, we're still seeing it in 70 millimeter. And I'm sitting there and then a guy stands up from the audience. He came back from his break. Intermission is there, so you can go to the bathroom.
Sure.
And he's like, hey, just so you know, we've been watching a digital projection this entire time.
Oh.
And I couldn't hear exactly what he was saying about they couldn't get some, I don't know if it was they couldn't get something to work or something wasn't happening, but we've been watching digital the entire time. And so the whole second act of the movie, I was freaking pissed.
Yeah.
Because I've had this huge outlay of cash to come experience this thing that I could have seen at home.
Yeah, we could have watched it digital here.
I could have watched it digitally here. And so I'm pissed. Now, granted, I'm in a comfortable seat. It's a giant, huge screen. You know, I got a great view. But this is not the movie that I wanted,
wanted to see.
And I'm thinking to myself, why? Number one, why were we not told before the movie began?
Yeah.
Why did the management not come into AMC and say, ladies and gentlemen, we're sorry, there's a problem with the projector, but we will present you the movie. If you would like to sit and watch the movie in this showing, you're more than welcome to.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you would like to get a refund now, you can do so before the movie begins.
Sure.
That would have been the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. AMC Theaters would have been the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, they lied to us.
Bastards.
Upon exiting the theater at the end of the movie, I'm riled up. I'm thinking, how am I going to tweet this out in 140 characters? I'm so pissed. I'm pretty sure Quentin Tarantino does not have a Twitter.
No. He has a typewriter that people hand deliver him tweets.
But, well, hopefully he got my 30 of them that I sent out. But, AMC is going to get burned on this. So as I'm leaving, I'm guessing it's the theater manager or lackey. He's a young kid, maybe a little bit older than you. But he's like handing out these free passes. Sorry about that. Here you go. Thank you. Come again. Thank you. Come in. And not saying why he's handing these out.
Mm-hmm.
But just giving everybody free passes so that they can come see another movie.
Sure.
Including this one if they want to. And there's a and I stopped. And I know there's a lot of people who were backing up behind me. I said, look, man, I drove 5 hours to get here to watch this movie. This stub does nothing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure it's not even going to work here at our theater, which has recently become an AMC theater.
Yeah.
Because we tried to look to see if there was the AMC membership that you can get for here.
Sure. Yeah.
You can't get it for here. When my wife looked. So it has no bearing for me. I know that there was someone else in the audience when the one guy stood up and said, hey, we've been watching digital.
Yeah.
Who stood up and was like, I drove 4 hours to get here. So I know that there were a lot of people who drove a long distance to come and see this movie and didn't get a chance to see the movie the way that the director intended it or what we paid for.
Sure.
I feel like there was a bait and switch going on.
Yeah.
Now, the problem with trying to get back in to see that movie a second time. Now, the 10 o'clock, I don't know if they were telling the 10 o'clock people that it was going to be digital.
Uh-huh.
But these are reserved seats. The seats were already sold out for a week. So how am I going to go use this free ticket to go and see this movie in 70 millimeter if you get the projector working? Mm-hmm. If you even had the film to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, AMC Theater 20 in Kansas City ruined and put a nail in the coffin or put the period exclamation mark at the end of the sentence of worst theater going experience of 2015, maybe just all time.
All time. I mean,
I got the booklet, but I didn't get to see the movie.
Yeah, but you the booklet is not in 70 millimeter. It's not even in digital.
It's nice though.
That's good.
So that is the story of how, even though Hateful Eight is a very good movie, how the movie-going experience was ruined for me because it was not the theater experience that I expected.
Right.
I mean, I literally could have gone and seen this in, if it shows here in Hayes.
Yeah, it will.
It probably will show in theater 8. Or no,
yeah,
not 8. Four. One of the smaller ones.
Yeah.
I could have seen it there and gotten the same experience out of it. But I went for something and didn't get what I wanted.
I mean, you went not just to see a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You went to have an experience.
Right.
Which is not something that necessarily happens as much in cinema anymore.
Right.
I mean,
and they
Star
made a
Wars
point.
Maybe just because
in
of the
pamphlet,
hype.
In the pamphlet, as we're waiting outside the theater, as we're getting our concessions, and I'm flipping mm-hmm. through the manual, I'm pointing to my wife excitedly saying, look, they haven't done a roadshow in 50 years. They haven't shown a movie in 70 millimeter in 50 years. John, do you know what this means? Ah, this is like, mm-hmm. we can remember this for a long time. This means something. And she's just rolling her eyes.
Right.
I didn't get that. I said Christmas ruined. That was one of my tweets. Christmas ruined because of that. It's Christmas Day. I could have been with my family instead of dropping them off at my parents' house. I was with my wife. It's still a fun time.
Yeah, sure.
But here's the other thing. And maybe I want the listeners to weigh in on this.
All right.
Because maybe I'm getting too wrapped up about this. Maybe it's just like, lighten up, Francis, right? You know, from Stripes.
Yeah.
Lighten up, Francis. It's a movie, right? It's just a freaking movie. So what?
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe not so what.
No.
But unfortunately, I think for many people who were there to watch that movie, it was so what big deal.
Yeah.
Because as we were walking out the theater, after I made a point to look at the manager and say, little good this does me when I had to drive 5 hours to get here, the woman behind me was like, why are they giving us these free passes?
Mm.
And it's like, because we didn't get to see this in 70 millimeter
right.
projection. We didn't get to see this in film. We got to see this digitally. And she just like shrugged her shoulders like, so?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people maybe went to see it for Samuel L. Jackson or Kurt Russell or Jennifer Jason Leigh or any of the other fine actors and actresses who are in this movie because they're all freaking wonderful. But I really think a lot of people just showed up to the movie because it was Quentin Tarantino or Samuel L. Jackson or Kurt Russell or whoever. And they didn't know that this was a roadshow movie and it was a special reason. And there's a reason why you got this magazine and booklet.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they didn't care. And
no.
maybe that's why it wasn't a big deal for AMC to make a big deal about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know for at least a dozen people in that theater on Christmas Day evening, it was a big deal for us.
Yeah, no, I don't think there is an overreaction on your part at all. If I was one, you have to realize, people listening, if maybe you think we're overreacting to this, we live in the middle of nowhere. We have one theater option for the better part of the last year. It's been horrible.
Right.
We don't get special screenings. We don't get independent films. So when we decide to spend the money to go travel to experience a film that we otherwise wouldn't, or in a format we otherwise wouldn't, we are investing time, money, energy, to go do it. And so if it would be like driving to another town to watch.
It's the equivalent of driving
Hootie the Blowfish and there was no blowfish or something stupid like that.
It's the equivalent of driving from Los Angeles to San Diego for those of you who are on the West Coast, or maybe from New York to New Jersey and having to deal with that. In fact, that it's New Jersey and having to deal with that to go see something that you're not getting.
Right.
It's the equivalent of, well, and I say Christmas was ruined, and this is me going back to the little child part of it is, I didn't get anything for Christmas this year.
Right.
The gift that my wife wants to get me hasn't arrived. It's still not going to arrive. She was telling me the other day, it may not be here until Father's Day.
Whoa.
And I'm like, you know what? That's okay. Yeah. No problem. I said, when she told me that, I said, Hateful Eight will be my Christmas present.
Thank you
for putting up with all of this for me. You're a wonderful wife. I love you. She enjoyed the movie.
That's good.
Especially with Channing Tatum in it.
Good.
But then it was like, here's my Christmas gift. I'm excited about, like a kid on Christmas morning, literally, to watch this movie. And then it's like, oh boy, I think in this box is a puppy. And you open it up, it's like, oh, there were no air holes in this box. The puppy's dead. That's what it felt like.
No, I mean, I would be equally as upset. Because, you know, when it was announced that they were doing this roadshow.
I rubbed it in your face, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You rubbed it in my face. And I was like freaking out, trying to figure out how I could pull it off, because
you were working on it.
It was not. It's not like it's going to be in theaters for a month. It's like during
not
the
in
busiest,
this roadshow.
Yeah, not right. in the roadshow.
Right.
It's in during the busiest part of the entire year in 40 cities.
Right.
And when you live out here, you have to figure out how can I work my way into convincing someone, taking a day off of work and driving for 8 hours total to go watch one movie.
Right. That's. Granted, it's a 3.5 hour movie.
Right, yeah.
But you're going to drive 8 hours either to Denver or to Kansas City to watch this.
Yeah. So for that to happen would be... This is what it's like. For sports people, it would be like if I drove to Kansas City
yeah.
to watch my favorite sports team.
Right.
And my sports team played, but my favorite player was benched the entire game.
Right.
Like, he's right
stupid.
There. Something stupid.
Not, not like an injury.
No. He's
just like he forgot his
play.
Jersey. He forgot his jersey.
He couldn't play. He had no jersey.
Right.
You can see him. You're experiencing the game, but it is greatly diminished because your favorite player and reason you love this team is not playing.
There.
That's what it's like.
Here are the tweets. December 25th. You can find this major spoilers on Twitter. If you plan to see the Hateful Eight Roadshow at AMC Theaters in Kansas, make sure they're actually running the film and not digital. Wish I hadn't purchased my Hateful Eight Roadshow tickets weeks in advance, only to have AMC Theaters pull a bait and switch. Can you tell I'm a little upset with AMC Theaters and their presentation of the Hateful Eight? To be fair, AMC Theater management did not tell the audience they were running digital before the movie began. Perhaps AMC Theaters missed the part about a 5-hour drive, hotel, gas, food, etc. that more than one person spent to see The Hateful Eight. Next time, skip AMC Theaters and wait for the digital release and enjoy the movie in the comfort of your own home.
Boom. AMC
Boom.
Theaters.
Way to go, AMC Theaters. And you know what? I know that the AMC Theaters Twitter account is an active Twitter account because mm-hmm. if you go on there, they're like someone's like asking a question saying, oh, you know, what do I do about this? And I think her name's Amy or something like that responds back and says, hey, get in touch with me and we can work this
sure,
out,
sure.
all this stuff. Not a single response from AMC at
all. Dodging it.
And the Hateful Eight Twitter, I think, is just a ad marketing thing
sure.
that really has nothing to do with the movie and certainly not with Quentin Tarantino.
Mm-hmm.
I expected at least a, hey, we're sorry about this. You know, that's the thing.
Right.
If people would own up to their mistakes and not try to cover it or ignore it, I would probably be a lot less upset.
Mm-hmm.
If they had just come in before the movie and said, hey, everybody, bad news. You're not going to see this in film
mm-hmm.
because of this, because our projector is broken or the film didn't come here or for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
I probably would have been a lot less angry.
Sure. Absolutely.
But I think when people have a chance to see something in film, this is like one of those rare things, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you get a chance to see something projected in film today, go to it.
Yeah.
If you have the choice, if you have the choice between seeing it in film or digital, go to the film experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's worth it. I don't know about you.
I agree. I haven't seen anything in film. Well, I have originally seen in theaters, but not at a point when I could tell a difference.
Yeah.
And since that point, the only time I've ever seen anything projected in film was when I was at the Arch in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And in their auditorium, they show a documentary of the building of the Arch. And that first shot came on the screen. I go, holy crap.
Yeah.
This is projected film because it has a different aesthetic.
It's totally different aesthetic.
It is beautiful. I watched guys break every HIPAA code, even though it wasn't a thing yet, by smoking on top of an arch, hundreds of feet in the air. And it was in beautiful film, and I was engrossed by it.
Yeah. So there you go. There's the great AMC Theater debacle of 2015.
I'm so sorry, Steven. That is just
I know, and the thing was, I was rubbing your face in it, and I was like, you know, and I even said in one of the tweets that I sent you, I said, Zach, I don't know, I think there's something wrong with the projection here, because, you know, there should be, and I was like, you really should see this in 70mm for the latitude and all the other stuff. But I'm like, you know, there's something we're off with the projection. And then, like, that's when Sony stands up and says, you've been watching the digital, like, damn it.
Yeah, there was like I got some tweets before you walked in. You're like, oh, ha, 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 I'm going to go watch The Hateful Eight.
That's what I get for being mean, right?
Yeah, and then you're tweeting me at me, like, oh, it's intermission. I'm like, oh, it's so cool. And you're like, just found out we've been watching digital the whole time.
Let's see. Really good. This is the tweet that I sent to Zach at 8:48 p.m., so this is right at intermission time. Really good. I'm not sure this is the best projection as I've seen cleaner, but the depth and latitude on the lens and stock is great.
Yeah.
And then a few minutes later at 8:50, disregard that. We've been told the movie is digital because the 70mm projector broke. But, you know, we watched Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah.
Even in digital. That was a really clean, crisp image.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what this was in digital.
Really?
So, yeah.
That's so
I knew from the opening shot, I was like, something is wrong
mm-hmm.
about this. So,
ugh. Disappointing.
Oh, well.
Hopefully.
Well, the good thing is the roadshow's over by now, I'm guessing, because
yeah.
the show because it opens nationwide this week, I believe, or
yeah,
it did open nationwide this week.
Yeah.
So, do go see it. It's definitely a Quentin Tarantino movie, and I have a lot more things to say about the movie itself.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about the worst movie theater going experience I've ever had.
That's really rough.
Yeah.
You just imagine if they've only would have shown half the screen If it was at our theater, they would have all been cut off. And
I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure if it's shown here, they'd be able to fit it all on the screen.
Ugh.
Because it's super wide.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's the it of a very disappointing episode of Zach on
No,
film.
It's not a disappointing episode.
It's a disappointing episode, Steve, and I wanted to hear you gush about film, and I just got anger. if you'd like to write Steven about his sad, sad time, you can hit him up on Twitter, at Major Spoilers, and console him through this hard its hardship.
I'm still angry and bitter 2 weeks after.
It'd make him very happy if you go to MajorSpoilers.com and read all the articles, though, or even use that Amazon.com link right there on the homepage to do all of your Quentin Tarantino Blu-ray shopping.
Yeah. Yep.
Get the rest of them. It won't look good as film, but it's the best you're going to get. It's not going to cost you any
extra. That's what you deserve.
It's not going to cost you any extra when you buy those movies, but a little bit will come back to Major Spoilers to help keep this ship afloat. So that's it for this very special episode of Zach on Film. We'll be back next week with more movie talk.
Oscar predictions on here.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah!
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.